Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Creativity, Bravado, and Natural Selection here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, I think that's appropriate, but to tell you the truth, I'm not sure because I haven't read this yet.
You know what people love about our show? The preparation.
The preparation. But right. I could tell just from the first paragraph that it was something that I wanted to read. I'll read you the note. I listen to your show at work. I love your show. My husband gets Flying Magazine and showed me this story. Thought you would get a boost from this. From Val Stallius from St. Flaco, Florida. St. something. I don't know. You've heard of Rickenbacker and Lindbergh and Doolittle. But have you heard of Larry Walters? Probably not. Yet Walters was made of that special stuff that separates aviation legends from the common run of folk. In 1982, Walters, this is what got me, this next paragraph. In 1982, Walters, a truck driver by trade, bought a bunch of weather balloons. Some sources say 42, some 45. He filled them with helium and tied them to a lawn chair.
Were they packed in cosmoline?
When I got to this point, I said, this has got to be good. So he ties 45 weather balloons to a lawn chair. He provided himself with a two-way radio, a parachute, some jugs of water, and a rifle, and then cut his conveyance loose from the bumper of his car, which was anchoring it to the ground. Take a moment to imagine the thrill and terror of that ascent, transforming a man surrounded by the normal appurtenances of life, garden, house, sport utility,
terra firma,
into a speck floating in an infinite space. Had he rigged up some sort of seatbelt? Did the chair tip and wobble? Did he call out to the ant-like figures below? We don't know. It is clear, however, that he violated FARs. I don't know what that means. It's all caps. Just don't forget, this is in Flying
Federal
Magazine.
Federal Aviation Regulations.
I love it. By passing through the Los Angeles TCA, we don't know what that is either, without a transponder or a clearance. Two passing jetliners reported to controllers that they had seen a man with a gun seated on a deck chair at 11,000 feet. A helicopter went up to take a look. Walters had planned to descend.
I got it. By shooting out one balloon.
You got it, man.
Hence the gun. I couldn't figure out the gun until
couldn't
now.
Couldn't figure out the gun either. Walters had planned to descend by shooting out the balloons with his gun, one at a time. He had deflated 10 of them this way when he accidentally dropped the gun. I told you this was going to be good.
And what were the first two words he uttered when he dropped the gun?
Where was I? When he accidentally dropped the gun. Wait, I can't read now. Evidently, 10 was enough. After being carried out to sea and back on the vagrant coastal breezes, he was snagged by power lines in Long Beach and led away in handcuffs. Ooh.
Yeah.
He's reported to have said, by way of explanation of his exploit, a man can't just sit around.
I guess not.
Walters subsequently fell on hard times, became bankrupt, and died by his own hand in 1993. But his memory survives as a model of those qualities of independence, vision, and disregard for common caution, without which aviation would never have come into being.
Exactly. I mean, what if the powers that were went and arrested the Wright brothers for doing something reckless?
Exactly.
Exactly. It takes vision.
He had deflated 10 of them when he accidentally dropped the gun.
I love it.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us about your car or maybe an upcoming flight in a helium-filled
in a lawn chair,
the number to call is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. I'm Mark.
Hi, Mark.
And I'm in Fort Worth, Texas.
Hi, Mark. Fort Worth, Texas, huh?
Yeah, you know it.
I think I've been there once.
Once, driving through, huh?
Driving through, heading west.
Just like everybody else.
Heading west.
Right. No, you took the wrong turn from the airport. You were going to Dallas.
What's up, anyway?
Hey, listen, I got a BMW. It's an 86.
What kind?
325 ES.
Yep.
And some things have been going wrong the past couple of years. Transmission went out last year. I had to replace that.
Hmm.
The air conditioning went out this spring.
Hmm.
Now I got a problem with the power steering fluid.
Yeah.
I'm losing it somewhere, but I don't know where it's going.
You don't, huh?
I put a schmuck under the car to collect the thing, and I drive it off the thing, and I don't find any.
Yeah, because it's only coming out when you're driving.
Ah, okay.
And it's more likely coming out when the wheel is turned all the way hard left or right.
Yeah, if you put something under the car, start it up, and turn the wheel back and forth.
I'll find it.
Open the hood, and you'll see it pouring out of some hose somewhere.
I think it's just a hose.
Well, if you're lucky, you'll see it pouring out of a hose.
Well, what the other alternative is...
The
what
rack.
What could it be?
Yeah, it could be the rack.
Oh, jeez.
Does this guy have a rack? This car has a rack.
Oh, sure.
And what am I looking at?
80.
Were you looking at to do that?
Oh, I would guess, conservatively, $1,000.
Oh, what?
And that's for a junkyard one.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, well, it probably is something in that neighborhood.
So if it's that, I'd be cheaper just buying the fluid for a buck and a half and putting it in every week.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could buy like 700 cans of the stuff.
Well, it's only a buck and a half, so you figure by the time you get to $1,000, you're looking at, what, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, oh, no,
that's
in
right.
fact, if you
15 years.
Yeah.
If you're really determined to just do this, then don't buy it by the can. You need a 55-gallon drum delivered to the house.
And carry it with me.
The only danger of that, Mark, is that if you should forget to put the stuff in.
Oh, yeah.
And you should, like, lose your steering.
Right.
Because you run out.
That's
but if you're clever, though, you can set up some kind of a system. If you mounted that 55-gallon drum on the roof of the car, and you could set up a little trickle thing so that it automatically trickles into the reservoir, then you wouldn't run out. The neighbors would like it, too.
That's a good idea.
But you say you're from Fort Worth, but where are you from?
He's from New York.
No.
No, I have to guess New Jersey.
No. I was born and raised about 10 miles... north of where you guys are right now.
10 miles north of where we are right now.
Sure.
Yep.
And I know where you're from. You're from Revere.
Oh, that's too high class. Wait a minute.
Oh, okay. Manchester by the Sea.
No. That's too high.
Lynn!
How about Chelsea?
No.
Yeah.
Chelsea.
Yeah. Not too many of us can say that.
You're not kidding. Not at least anybody who's out in the streets. How did you get from Chelsea, Massachusetts to Fort Worth? Never mind.
It's a long story.
It is, and the witness protection program is somehow involved, I know.
Yeah, just about.
Hey, good luck, Mark.
All right, guys, thanks a lot. Great show.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right. See ya.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi, who's this?
This is Heather from Ravensdale, and I hope you
can help me. Whoa. Ravensdale.
Ravensdale, Washington. Sorry.
Have you lived there all your life?
No. I had to get out of Seattle.
Seattle? You're from...
Too many Californians now.
Anyway, what's up?
Well, I'm a chump. I've been chumped, I think.
You've been chumped.
Last year, about this time, my husband and I went to Montana, and it was pretty, the weather, it was cold and snow was already on the ground.
Yeah.
And we were at this hotel, and we went to start the car in the morning, and it didn't start. And
we went to the Laramie, or the Billings Hilton.
Oh, your favorite, Montana. I forgot you guys love that place.
Yeah.
Bozeman.
Oh,
actually.
The Bozeman Hilton.
The Bozeman Hilton, yeah. Bozeman International Hilton.
Bozeman.
Yeah, four seasons.
Four seasons. We only
snow.
We only have two.
No snow.
But it's the two seasons. Bozeman.
The two seasons, Bozeman, right. Snow and no snow.
That's cute.
Yeah, okay, so the car wouldn't start.
Okay. Anyways, let me go back to the details of my car.
Oh, yeah, that's why you really called.
That was it, yeah.
The 92 Subaru Loyale.
Okay.
And right now it has 110,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
Okay, so this happened last year.
When it didn't start, what did it do?
it didn't start. I would turn the key, and it just wouldn't start. And we thought it was a dead battery, so we got it charged, and that didn't do
it. So when you turned the key, nothing happened, or it went, or it didn't do
Just nothing happened.
Nothing.
Dead silence.
Nothing.
Dead silence.
So we finally got it started by spraying starter fluid into the air intake.
Ah, see, we're getting conflicting info here.
That's not right.
Okay.
That's not right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that might all be true, but that would mean if you got it to start by spraying something in it, it won't start unless it cranks. And if it wasn't doing that, and if you sprayed, say, you could spray all day long, and it's not going to make it go. So
it must have been going round, but you didn't remember that part. But you got it started by using starter fluid.
Right.
Okay.
And
we'll go on.
We'll fast forward to the end. Then we'll come back to this part if we need to.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no reason to stop just because we're confused, because that happens all the time.
Well, I'm confused, too. I mean, it's been nothing but problems. So I've taken it into the shop last winter. It was pretty bad here. And I had it in the shop probably 6 or 7 times. And the shop was never able to duplicate the problem. And in the meantime, I'm getting off work in the mornings, and it's not starting. So I have to get out in 20-degree weather and spray the fuel injector.
And then what happens when you, then it begins to crank?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Wait, you may have discovered something here.
So let me get this right. You turn the key. You hear nothing. You don't hear the typical, you know what the sound the typical car makes when you try to start? It goes, boom, then it starts. You don't get the,
I don't get that at all.
Right.
But
so
then you get out,
the hood,
you spray.
You spray some stuff in it, and then it does the,
get out. Then it does the, and then finally it'll start.
No, even if you didn't spray, it would start.
As Elaine would say, get out.
You see,
that's good.
If I didn't use the spray, it wouldn't start.
Heather, you have discovered. Do Pawns and Fleischmann know about this? This is
I'm
good.
I'm trying to think of an analogous situation.
Yeah.
Okay, so the spray.
Here it is. You come home and your husband is dead.
That's what.
On the kitchen floor.
Right.
He's had a heart attack.
Right.
You give him a glass of orange juice. He gets up.
Yeah, this is sort of like what you're describing to us. See, the
because there's no way that the spray could make it crank.
Well, that's what we think now in our narrow way of thinking, using the scientific principles which have been handed down for millennia.
From father to son.
But Heather is somewhere else.
Yes, she is.
And Heather has been to Montana.
And Heather used to live in California.
No,
she never lived in California.
All right. Well, it may be.
Well, why would it work then?
Well, here's what I'm coming up with.
I got it.
It's the action of opening and
the door.
Closing the hood.
Or the door.
That's doing it.
Not. No way.
Not.
It can't be that simple. Heather. I've had this in the. You know how much I've spent on this car?
All right. Here's what you
okay.
do. The next time.
That's good. My brother's right.
The next time, pop the hood open.
Uh-huh.
Don't spray anything. Get back in the car.
Yeah.
And it'll start.
Why is that?
Well, what do we know?
I'm disappointed.
Well, no.
You're disappointed.
It sounds like your problem is a bad connection somewhere. This is clearly a situation where either the battery or the...
Changed the battery.
Good. That narrows it down. It's not the battery.
I've changed the fuel pump. I've changed the fuel injector.
How about
injector.
The starter?
The starter, no.
Does this have a standard shift?
No.
Oh.
There you go.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know what the hell I'm talking about anymore. I really wish I'd crashed the car.
Are there bright lights in the sky when this happens?
Come to think of it. No.
Wow.
Well, I think that the spray has got nothing to do with anything.
It doesn't.
I think the problem is the thing is not getting juice to the starter. I suspect, oddly enough, either a bad starter or a bad switch on the clutch. You know, you have a switch on the clutch which prevents you from starting it. It's called a defeat switch or an interlock switch. It prevents you from cranking the engine unless your foot is all the way down on the clutch pedal.
Uh-huh.
And that switch could be bad.
Huh.
If you have an assistant, the next time it won't start... With the hood open, have your assistant, or you can tap on the starter motor with a rubber mallet while the assistant holds the key all the way to the crank position.
Okay.
And I bet when you do that, the thing will roar to life.
Huh.
If it does not, have the mechanic check the clutch interlock switch.
Okay. Well, I'll try that.
And call back, because we are dying to hear from you some more. I can't tell you.
And I'll get my story together.
After you check these two things, call us back. We want a full report.
I will.
We'll be waiting.
Okay.
See you, Heather.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling, Heather.
Bye.
Hey, Tommy, are you ready for this week's Puzzler Hints?
Where am I? Who are you?
Oh, see what I've got to deal with? Okay, here's your first hint.
Yeah.
When we first opened our garage, in the interest of customer service, we made our motto, blank is always right.
Vinny Gumbat's the loan shark is always right.
No, the customer.
The customer is always right.
Okay, here's your second hint.
Yeah.
After your 14th marriage, you swore you would never again walk down what?
That's easy. I would never again walk downstairs to take out the garbage, because that's when they always lock the door and I couldn't get back in.
No, I was looking for aisle, down the aisle. Well, anyway, the puzzle was about a conversation the customer overheard in the next aisle at a store, and we'll be back with the answer in just a minute.
Well, I was cruising down the road in my Jetta GL with the radio blasting, irritated as hell. Cause a long line of traffic's really ruining my day when a rice burning four banger blows me away. Well, hey, little buddy, are you new in town? Or don't you know nobody runs my little Volkswagen down? Hey, little Honda Accord, gonna shut you down. Little Honda Accord, gonna shut you down. Little Honda Accord, gonna shut you down. Little Honda Accord, gonna shut you. Nothing from Japan beats my German machine. She's the finest car on the Ford we've seen. Hey, little Honda Accord, gonna shut you down. Little Honda Accord.
And even though blue-haired leaf peepers suddenly veer into roadside vegetable stands when we say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. Okay, here it is. I brought this old puzzler back because it's a perfect lead-in for the new puzzler that's coming up later in the show.
You drew a blank last week, how you had nothing else to do? You had to pull out old ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, anyway, here it is.
This is a good one.
It's a beauty.
And if it leads into something a hell of a lot better, that's even better.
I didn't say that was going to happen. Anyway, here it is. A girl and her mother are out shopping in a store, you know.
Yeah.
And they overhear a conversation between a customer and a salesperson in the next aisle. The customer asks, how much does one cost? The answer is 99 cents. Okay, how about 12? Asks the customer. Oh, that'll be $1.98. Okay, in that case, I'll take $1.28.
And he says that'll be $2.97 plus
tax. The question is,
and gratuity.
Of course. What kind of a store are they in, and what is the person buying? Well, it's not obvious because there really is only one thing that you could buy.
I think there's only one. It would be interesting if there were two answers to this puzzler.
Well, I don't think so. The only thing that works for me, it only works if the answer is...
Two.
House numbers.
Sure.
They're in a hardware store or some such store.
And they live at 128 Blueview Terrace.
So you're buying 128 for the cost of three things, because you're buying three things. You're buying number one, number two, and a number eight.
Wow.
Sure. Anyway, do we have a winner?
Yeah. Barry Ransom from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Wow.
And for having his answer selected at random from the dumpster full of correct answers that we got, Barry's going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. And with that gift certificate, he can get our CD collection called Car Talk Cartoons, the Car Talk Compendium of Disrespectful Car Songs. Isn't that nice?
It is. And they're all songs about lousy cars or related subjects.
Yeah, like lousy mechanics, lousy drivers, lousy car show hosts. If you want to copy Barry or anyone else wants a copy, they can go to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. Boy, that was shameless advertising we just did.
Good, too. Anyway.
Great.
We'll have that brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show today, so don't bail out on us yet. If you have a question about your car or anything else for that matter, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 18-88-22-78-25-5. That ought to confuse him for a while. Like when car talk.
Isn't it interesting how complicated it is when you say it that way? 18, 88, 22.
Well, you know, we're not conditioned to hear phone numbers like in Europe they do.
Yeah.
We got the threes and the fours in this
country. You've been giving up on the double business, the double, triple stuff.
It's coming. Hello, you're right, Car Talk.
Hey, guys. My name's Danush. I'm from Crestone, Colorado.
Danush?
Danush. Yeah. I know Dinesh, but I don't know Danush.
You know Dinesh.
D-I-N?
It's D-A-N-U-S-H.
Danush.
Danush. From whence does Danush come?
Danush comes from, it's actually Polish for Daniel.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, we should have known that. Danush.
My dad actually grew up in a little Polish neighborhood outside of Detroit.
Like Stasiu,
yes.
Right, you're not really Polish, you just have a Polish name.
I have a Polish name. I know about three words in Polish, and that's about it.
One of them's Danush.
Yeah.
How about Nozdrovia? I know that one.
Nozdrovia, yes.
Yeah, I know that one.
You use that one a lot.
Don't step in the Nozdrovia.
My father-in-law teaches me most words that I can't say on the air.
So where are you from, Danush?
I'm actually living in a little town in Colorado right now called Crestone. I'm from Woods Hole, Massachusetts, though, actually, Woods Hole in Cape Cod.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And what brought you to Crestone?
Well, I
His I'm whale research.
I'm doing an alternative construction. I've been building an alternative house, passive solar, and it's made out of straw bales. Have you guys ever heard of that?
It's made out of straw bales?
Yes.
I thought an alternative house was like an 81 Chevy. That's the alternative house I've usually lived in.
That's an alternative septic tank out here.
Well, that's interesting. Hay bales. I mean, this is like a retro house.
Yes, yes.
You're going back like a couple of hundred years.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Trying to live like the pioneers did in Colorado.
Good.
So are you finished with your construction, or are you just begun it?
I'm actually just about to wrap it up.
Good for you, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what brought me out.
Don't smoke. Don't smoke.
Yeah, don't cook.
Right.
No open fires.
And no romantic candlelight dinners.
No.
Anyway, so why did you call us?
What's
so
up,
anyway,
Stasiu?
I'm calling because of a car. I do have a car problem. I have a 1980 four-wheel drive Subaru wagon.
Yep.
And my friend's ex-girlfriend was moving out of Aspen, Colorado, and she had this car, and she didn't want it anymore, so she gave me this thing.
Mm.
So I drove it back, and it seemed fine, but the clutch was a little funny. So my friend and I and my girlfriend drove out to California with it, and we drove to San Francisco.
Mm.
So
that finished the clutch.
To fix the clutch, you thought that breaking it in would do it?
Break in a 20-year-old car. But we drove it to San Francisco, and we realized on the way out there that when the car heated up, the clutch would start slipping. But if we let it cool overnight or cool for a little while, the clutch would catch fine and be absolutely like brand new.
Hmm. And you made it back from San Francisco to Crestone, Colorado.
Yeah. But I didn't have to push it that much. But
Does the clutch pedal feel any differently when it's beginning to slip? Aside from the fact that
I'm working on that, too. But I don't like it.
I haven't noticed any difference, to tell you the truth. There might be, but I haven't noticed any difference.
We're both independently working on hydraulics.
Oh, not I.
You're not working on hydraulics.
This car, I believe, has a cable clutch.
Oh!
Okay.
This vehicle has a cable clutch,
is that
true?
In which case, I can now say, since I knew that I had no idea what's causing this, that we have no idea what's going on.
Well, no, I... 80 I believe an 80 Subaru has a clutch cable.
Well, if that's true, I suppose... How about this?
Go ahead. I'm open to anything because I have what?
No clue. Here, how's this? The cable is all frayed and chewed up, and it's ready to break any minute.
Sounds bogus.
Wait a minute.
Don't forget, they drove it to California.
I understand. So it's hanging on by several threads, but it's not broken yet. However, as we know, as things heat up, what? They expand. So the cable gets longer.
Oh, this is bad. This is real bad. This is bad.
The cable gets longer, and it starts to sneak into the passenger compartment and wrap itself around his leg.
Well, I think we have to attack...
I have no idea.
We have to attack the original premise, which is that the clutch is slipping. How do you know it's slipping?
Well, because, when it first goes, you know, I put it in first gear and it starts rolling and it's fine and it goes, and then 15, 20 minutes later, I put it into gear and it goes, and the car doesn't go anywhere.
Well, one of the things that can keep a clutch from slipping during the first few minutes of operation is moisture on the clutch.
Okay.
Because it'll actually act as a just like your brakes grab when they're wet. This can happen too if there's a little moisture on the clutch.
So, have you noticed any difference on wet days?
There is no difference.
I didn't think so. Really. Well, the only other thing that comes to mind is that the release bearing is binding on the collar.
This sounds better.
It does. And I always throw out words that the collar doesn't understand, and you'll get them to get rid of them.
Binding on the collar.
So that the clutch, when it heats up, is not releasing. And it's tantamount to your riding the clutch.
Okay.
Which would be the same
as the cable wrapping around your leg.
As the cable stretching. It would be the same.
Okay.
No, the cable isn't stretching.
Yeah.
But I think what you need, the solution here, is to put a new clutch in.
Just put a new clutch in there.
New clutch, yep.
Okay.
I mean, you could verify this, because when it starts to slip, if you could get someone to look at the release bearing, which might be visible.
Well, you might be able to just yank up on the pedal and get it to not slip.
Ooh.
Oh,
Try that.
Okay. I haven't tried that yet.
Well, you don't have to reach way down there. Just reach down and grab that cable that's wrapped around your ankle and pull on it.
While
you're driving.
Tie a rope around the clutch pedal so you can yank on the thing. But but the solution, I believe, is a new release bearing. But if you're going to do that, you might as well put a new clutch in because you've done all the same labor.
Okay.
Good luck, Danush.
Thanks a lot.
It's been a pleasure.
Salutations, comrades. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Michaela. I'm from Portland.
Michaela.
How are you?
Spell it with the diphthong?
Diphthong.
A-E-L-A?
A-E, that's correct.
Is that a diphthong?
Diphthong?
I don't know.
I don't even know thongs.
Where are you from?
From Portland.
Oregon?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I have a 1991 Toyota Camry and am planning a road trip with my siblings. But the catch is that the Camry has 275,000 miles on
it. Don't take it.
No.
Next question.
No.
Our plan is to drive as far south as possible before it self-destructs.
Like what?
Oh, what, you mean to Tierra del Fuego?
Yes, exactly.
So that's your destination, Tierra del Fuego.
Our destination, right, Tierra del Fuego. What we'd like to know is what we should take in our repair kit.
Wait a minute. Who are the siblings?
My brother Brendan, who's 21, my sister Alyssa, who's 22, and my brother Tavish, who's 19.
How
old are you?
I'm 24.
Oh, you're the old lady of the crowd.
Yes.
The old lady. And you all speak Spanish?
Yes, we do.
Well, you know...
So, who came up with this idea?
You know, we were sitting around, and we don't even take the car on
I want to have dinner at your house. Because you guys talk about some interesting stuff.
Sunday nights. Come over any
Sunday night. Sunday night, huh?
We'd love to have you. No, well, we thought, you know, we're tired of being scared that it's going to blow up, you know, just on short trips, like 2 or 3 hour trips. So we might as well just all pile in and see how far it'll go.
You're going to be really ticked if you make it only as far as Salt Lake City. That would be rather unromantic. I'd find it was Salt Lake City. But go ahead.
No, you could make it a long way.
I think the car has great potential. It has been in, you know, 3 accidents. It's been stolen and returned twice. And somehow through it all, it just kind of keeps running. So
yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those cars.
Well, you know, there's something to be said for a car that's tried and true. And the fact that it's gone 275,000 miles to me means it could go another 50,000. It's broken in. It's proven itself.
It has.
Would you want to take a brand new car which you didn't know anything about?
No. Absolutely not.
No.
If I tell you, if it were I, and I were going to do this, I would go in my Dodge Dart before I'd go in anything.
Yep.
We would try to get you to go in the Dodge Dart, but the junkyard wouldn't give us a two-for-one deal.
So what do you think we should take?
Okay, so which season of the year, which seasons of the, oh, you'll hit all the seasons if you make it.
Right. We're planning to do this over our winter holiday. And the idea is as far and as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're sure to blow it up by Salt Lake City with that strategy.
Well, why do you want to bring anything?
Well, we thought there's a certain level of mechanical problems that would occur that would stop the trip. You know, like the engine explodes, trip's over.
Yeah, but you don't want to be stopped by little stuff.
Right. So I'm thinking along the lines of, you know, like something like duct tape.
I think you make sure that it has...
duct tape.
Yeah, duct tape is a must. But I would make sure the car has good brakes because you don't want to die.
Yep, right.
And I would also make sure that the ball joints and tie rod ends are okay.
Okay.
But other than making the car, I would do the bare minimum to make the car safe. And whatever else happens, happens. That's part of the adventure.
Right.
I think. Yeah. And
if you want to bring something just to make you feel good,
mm-hmm.
I would say one roll of duct tape.
Okay.
A pair of vice grips.
Mm-hmm. A round of ammunition.
And one of those flippy screwdrivers that has a flat blade on one side and a Phillips blade on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
And water.
That sounds good.
And you might want to bring one of those cell phones that works anywhere, and I mean anywhere. And obviously, you know, credit cards and the like. And the only other thing I would bring along would be those space blankets.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
those
good.
Are good.
Yeah. I mean, God,
those
only,
are good.
God only knows where you could get stuck.
Yeah.
Have your parents pleaded with you guys not to do this, or are they in favor of it?
Well, we've only briefly discussed it with my mother. I have a feeling she'll have a few more concerns, but, you know.
Oh, she won't like the idea at all, but you're going to have to tell her to bite the bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, tell her you're adults and you have. Never mind. Don't. I wouldn't take that approach. But
tell her you wouldn't be crazy if it wasn't for her.
There you go. Well, we are dying to hear how you do.
Yes, definitely. Well, we were thinking we might try to call you from the road in case we have any, you know.
Well, that would be great. We could do a little website feature on you if you want us to. Send us pictures.
Yeah, my brother is a. He's studying multimedia and web design, so he was talking about bringing a digital camera, and we could do a little video, too.
Perfect.
Sure.
Perfect. Yeah. You can take the pictures and email them to us.
Yeah.
And we'll put them up on our site. Here's where Michaela got eaten by the Gila monster. Some such thing, you know.
Here's where Brendan fell into the quicksand.
Here's a picture of a bunch of hats and ropes.
Here's where we threw Tavish into the Amazon. you know, Brendan has a bet that we drove back and forth to Mexico 8 times because my family lived on site at an orphanage in southern Mexico. And on that trip, our car broke down twice in the same town, the witch capital of Latin America. It's this town called Catemaco. So there are bets being placed that the car, if it's going to catch on fire or anything bad will happen.
Really? That's where it's going to happen?
Yep.
Well, you'll definitely have to send us a photo from there. And you guys sound like a fun bunch.
Well, you can come over for dinner anytime with your dad.
Okay.
See you,
Michaela. I got some great ideas for trips.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling, Michaela.
Bye-bye. All right, look, before we get to the new puzzler, we have to give our stations a minute to identify themselves.
Minute. Jeez. I mean, I don't want to cause any trouble. I mean, I don't complain or anything, right?
Oh, no.
But does it really take a whole minute to identify the station? I mean, a minute? 4 letters. Takes 4 seconds.
No, I mean, the ID takes like 5 seconds. But then if the stations talk really fast, they can cram most of the other car talk disclaimers and distancing statements into the other 55 seconds.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute.
On a gravel back road, down deep in the fall, so long ago, how we were a call, my grandpa's green tree.
And even though Vincent van Gogh rises from the grave and cuts off his other ear whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to this because I want to know just what is it that required
a segue,
a lead-in, like the house number.
I hate to build anything up because it can only lead to a letdown.
Trouble, yeah.
Yeah, and I know after I state this Puzzler, I just can't hear it now. I can hear, Gus, I can hear it.
Well, usually you deserve it.
Not
my job here is to tell the truth.
Keep
everything on the straight and narrow and make sure that you don't go off half-cocked with some cock and bull story about things that don't make sense.
Yeah, but if you expose me every time, they're going to throw us off the air.
They're going to throw us off the air anyway.
Well, here it is.
Yeah.
You remember last week's puzzle?
Of course.
It was about house numbers.
Yeah.
Well, so is this week's.
Oh.
Okay, except with a little twist. A man is waiting in line at a hardware store to buy letters that make up the number of his house. You know, for example,
T-H-R-E-E.
There you go. But by luck, there are three other guys ahead of him in line, all doing the same thing. Okay.
Do I need a pencil for this?
Get the pencil. The first guy buys the number one, O-N-E.
O-N-E.
And he pays $2.
Oh.
The next guy buys the number two, and he pays $3.
Rip off. Yeah.
The third guy buys the number 11, and he pays $5.
Oh,
you with me?
I'm with you, and I got the answer already.
This guy, our protagonist here in this little drama.
I got it.
Okay. Is buying the number 12.
How much does he pay is the question.
Right? What does he pay exactly?
I would suggest he go to the other hardware store and he would only pay $1.98.
Right, but they're not buying numbers. They're buying letters.
I understand, but he can save a lot of money by buying numbers instead of
love. Oh, you think so? And tell his wife he misunderstood the instructions?
He misunderstood.
He's going to get a dope slap.
Pocket the money. That's good, man.
Now,
I like it.
If you think you know the answer, write it on the deed for a centrally located two-bedroom floor through with eat-in kitchen, granite countertops, central air, and off-street parking downtown Boston, and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, my name is Andras. I'm from Suwanee, Tennessee.
Andras.
Hello there.
Wait a minute, hold it. Andras.
Yeah, Andras, like when you take out the trash.
O-N-D-R-A-S?
A-N-D-R-A-S.
Andras. A-N. Yeah.
By the way.
Where are you from?
I live in Suwanee, but I'm born in Hungary.
You must be a college professor.
No. I'm just a chef. Cooking for all the School of Theology students and professors.
Ah.
Yes. Yeah, so,
is there a college in Suwanee, Tennessee?
Oh, yeah, the University of the South. Also the School of Theology.
Oh.
For, Episcopal ministers.
Oh, so you are providing food. The professors provide food for thought, and you provide food for eating.
Yes, they provide spiritual nourishment. And
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Nourishing my little sheep. Yeah.
Okay. So what's up?
Well, there's a situation. I have a 1992 F-150 four-wheel drive pickup truck.
Got it.
And I had a couple months ago, I had a little problem. As I coming up on this beautiful mountain, I lost oil pressure. Of course, I had about 30 bags of this concrete in the back there, you know, this quickcrete mix.
Oh, you're making pancakes the next morning, right?
on my little side job in there.
Yeah.
So the oil pressure just suddenly dropped down, and The next morning when I started up, it started click, 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 clicking.
Oh,
I said,
sure.
My God, my valves maybe got it. So I take him to the repair shop, and they said, yes, we have to fix your valves. All's well, we have to replace your camshaft bearings and your oil pump as well. So getting to this big expense, talking about $1,200. The thing is, it's very quiet and very beautifully running now. But every time when I heat up the engine and the oil gets hot, and soon if I take my foot up the gas pedal, I'm just rolling into the intersection to the complete stop. Of course, the RPM drops down to 700-800.
Yeah.
And the oil pressure is just whoop, goes down also.
All the way to zero?
Yes.
Well, see when they said they replaced the camshaft bearings.
Yes.
They replaced the lifters.
The lifters in the...
And,
yes,
of course, they replaced the oil pump.
But they did not replace the main bearings. Is that correct?
Did they at least take the main bearings out and measure everything?
No.
Oh.
No, they don't, but they charge me...
They charge you $1,200 to do this work?
$1,200 for the camshaft? You know, that sounds about right.
Well, unfortunately, I think a lot of the work they did, especially the replacement of the camshaft bearings...
You're not
going to
like this...
...is for naught. You're going to have to do the work over again, and this time you're going to have to replace the main and connecting rod bearings, too, because you have a situation where you starve the engine of oil more than once now, and whenever you do that, you ruin the bearings.
If the bearings don't get oil, then...
Andres, you there?
Yeah, I mean, and when they had the oil pan off... would have been so easy to look at the main bearings and the connecting rod bearings, and they seems like they didn't do it. And
if they had pulled off those caps, they would have seen that those bearings were all chewed up.
And it's not holding pressure, because when the oil pump pumps, but if the bearings are not tight, it won't hold the pressure, which is exactly what's happening.
Right.
But it will get worse. Isn't that good news?
Yeah,
it will get worse because
I can't wait for that day.
Well, I mean, the only reason I say that in my convoluted logic is that you could go back and tell these guys to do what they have to do. On the other hand, you could wait until it got worse.
No, I would go back right away because
they're not going to do anything.
Well, what they're going to do, they're going to rebuild the entire engine, which is what you should have done in the first place.
Yeah,
bummer.
I'm going to have to sell the truck.
Oh, man.
Well, good luck.
I'm sorry we didn't have better news for you, Andres.
Well, thank you. It's actually pretty good. It's a direct steering into direction. Get a brand new truck.
Good luck, Andres.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, you know what time it is?
Time to check the coolant level in the cappuccino machine?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps! Bum, bum, bum. All right, this is the part of the show, I have to read this because I can never remember it, where we hunt down a previous caller and check on the advice that we gave him or her to see if we have done good or we have done not so good.
Or if we're done for. So yeah. Who's our lucky player this week?
Well, according to the notes, it's Dale the Okie from Muskogee. Do you remember Dale? No, I don't either.
Well, I remember the Okie from Muskogee.
Glad to be. Dale had a 91 Nissan Sentra, which had a teeny-weeny problem with its spark plug wires, it says here. Let's see what he said.
Passed a car going uphill, and it like blew almost came all the way out of the hole.
It could be that the spark plugs are merely loose. What will happen is, under ordinary circumstances, when the cylinder combustion is small, that there's not enough force behind that explosion to sneak past the spark plug. My brother has that look on his face.
The spark plug wire doesn't know anything about the explosion?
Yeah, it does, sure. There's pressure now created in that long cylinder. And when it's pushed down, okay, now listen to me here.
When it's pushed down,
the very top of it makes a pretty tight seal with the valve cover.
Yes.
Okay, so when you try to pass and you get the biggest possible explosion, understandably, it's a very small amount, sneaks past the threads, gets into that little cylinder, and will blow the wire off.
I have never heard such crap.
I have a backup theory then.
Now, when you When you're wrong, as my brother often is, you always need a backup theory.
Well, what did you think it was?
I didn't believe Dale at all. I suggested that the wires were never connected in the first place.
Well, let's find out. Dale, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey. Look, before we find out whether it was the spark plugs that were loose or not, we need to verify that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, my brother, the staff of National Public Radio, or Willie the Manicurist who put the spark plugs in for you. Okay, Dale, were the plugs loose or not?
Tom, your check bounced, okay?
Uh-oh.
Ray, you were right, Tom.
Hey!
What, the spark plugs were loose?
Yes, the spark plug was loose. My mechanic tightened it down about a half a turn, he said, and the problem has ceased and desist.
Oh, man.
Yes.
And so you obviously got my check, huh, Dale?
Yes, that's right. I appreciate the $5.
Boy.
You see, maybe.
And I doubted my brother. I apologize from the bottom of my heart to think that my brother could have been making up a story like that.
It was
evil of me to even consider that he must have been doing that. But I thought I could tell from the look in his eye. You know, he gets that certain look when he's making up something that is complete horse feathers, as we say in the trade here. So I apologize to you, Dale, to my brother, and to all the ships at sea.
You're the gods of radio, okay?
Dale, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, and
you'll get your check.
You're welcome back anytime.
Great, thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
If you hear someone on one of the calls that you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, just email us your suggestion from cartalk.com, and we'll try to track down that person.
Or if you can't wait and you need to stump us right now, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-782. 55.
Hey, wait a minute. I just thought of something. You know this Stump the Chumps thing?
Yeah.
We could double our chances of being right.
Oh, if we, what?
Every time you give an answer, I give a different one.
Well, you do.
And either
you
one.
You do every week.
But then either one of us being right, and you play the da-da-da-da.
I don't think it's going to increase our chances much. I'll admit, it will increase our chances somewhat, but if you're thinking it's going to guarantee us a win, I think...
No. There are no guarantees in life.
That's for sure.
I know that.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Marianne from Denver.
Hi,
Marianne. Is that Marianne one word, two words, or what?
Two words, one person.
Two words.
Yes.
And is the "and" with an "e" at the end?
Nope. Yeah,
that's just how I wrote it.
All right.
So what's up?
Well, here's what's up. I've got a 1984... Toyota Land Cruiser.
Mm-hmm.
And after I drive it for a little bit, I smell like gas.
You smell like gas.
I smell like gas, and it's very annoying. Eau de petrol is not my favorite odor, if you know what
Doesn't
I mean.
Doesn't have to be, as long as it's your boyfriend's favorite odor.
Well, that doesn't work
no,
either.
No, it doesn't.
So, So what happened is that I had gas leaking over the front passenger side tire, and so I took it into my mechanic. He tied off the air breather hose. After he did that, the gas stopped leaking, and then gas, when I opened up the gas tank, gas would gush out at me. So I took it back to the mechanic, who did something to pull the gas through the carbon filter, he said.
And now
the gas doesn't rush out of the gas tank when I open it up.
Right, but you still have the smell.
But I smell like gas.
Well, what he's done
is illegal, among other things.
Yeah, the authorities will be at his door within minutes.
Yeah.
Back in the old days, before 1984 certainly, gas tanks used to be vented to the atmosphere by means of a little pinhole in the gas cap. So that as the gasoline and the vapors in the tank expanded on a warm day, it would just allow the pressure to escape via this little hole.
Into the atmosphere, thus polluting all the world.
Right. And the hole was not so big that you had to worry about gasoline leaking out of it, liquid gasoline, unless the thing were tipped over on its side.
Uh-huh.
But back around the end of the 60s, the Environmental Protection Agency or whomever decided it was bad to have these unburned hydrocarbons escaping into the air. That's why gas stations now have these recovery systems. You notice when you go to a gas station, you don't smell gas anymore, unless, of course, you're in your 84 Land Cruiser.
Oh, you spill it on your shoes.
Because the fumes are trapped and removed before they can escape to the air.
And the same thing happens in your car.
Your car has an evaporative emission system, which consists of a charcoal canister and a purge valve and hoses and all these things. And what's happened is your canister probably got plugged up. the purge valve probably stopped working. I mean, after all, it is 1,000 years old. And this guy tried to short-circuit all this stuff. But in doing so, he's created a monster.
Okay, so, like, basically I need the air breather hose reconnected.
And you need the canister. You need the valve. He may have ripped out the piping. You know, there are tubes that go from the canister to the tank.
Uh-huh.
Could have done all of that stuff. So if he's a good guy and he wants to do it and doesn't want to spend the next 12 years in a federal prison, he'll take care of this for you. So you should tell him that what he did was not only illegal, but it was just the wrong thing to do.
Yeah. But if he does choose to do the federal prison thing, ask him to say hello to Vinny.
Uncle Vinny, that's
Uncle Vinny.
Okay, all right.
Good luck, Marianne.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Bronx Zoo, Caribou, Zebra Roo, Rabbit Stew, Kangaroo, Beef Ragu, Duck Fondue, and Braised Tofu, Howdy Do. It's John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our ranch foreman is Hyman Old Cowhand. Our PR director is B. Esser. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian Albin Heard Before. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Payne Diaz, and a brother in the military, Major Payne Diaz, and a two-year-old, Ariel Payne Diaz, and they have a dog, Toto Payne Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group, of course, is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the squirrels doing step aerobics in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1342, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, learning to drive.
You are, huh? Finally. Well, better late than never.
No, not me.
Oh, no?
No.
Well, look, it's the season for teaching young people to drive. If you've got a teen who's about to drive, or recently started driving, or recently drove your new Porsche through a Dairy Queen window, check out our teen driving area for lots of useful advice. It's all available right now over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even those sausage makers shudder at the thought of how our show gets made whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.